hurricane screamed at their heels as they closed in on the old house. But the door was locked and coated with a glittering layer of titanium steel. A tiny obslit was cut into its center. Semyonian pounded on the door with the butt of his Makarov, but nobody came. Alyev had fallen whimpering to his knees, arms locking around the legs of his superior. To try to free himself from the grip of the tracker, Semyonian reached down and pulled at his head. But hanks of coarse hair came away in his hand, and strips of flesh peeled whitely away from the wretch's face. Bone showed through, and Semyonian saw to his horror and disgust that it was carved in tiny, delicate figurines of calculating men, women, and animals. He knocked again on the door and heard footsteps above the screeching of the chemstorm, combat boots that marched slow and steady. A bolt grated, and the obstacle moved back on its hinges. Part of a face appeared and studied the Major Commissar for a long, long moment. Then the panel slid back again, and Semyonian could hear the steps receding. As he sat at the table in the kitchen, Semyonian remembered the bowel-tearing feeling of helpless horror as the lethal storm had enveloped him. Though he'd been able to see only a small part of the man's face behind the bolted door, he'd felt that he somehow recognized him. Now, all the Major Commissar could recall was that the man had been scarred and had one eye. Ryan, Christie, and Rick were making slow progress. Even with his walking stick, Ginsburg needed to stop every half mile or so to sit down and recover, his head sunken on his chest, his breath rasping with a shuddering force. His lips turned a frightening shade of pale cyanotic blue.
Time was I could hike the glacier with the best of them. But now, I'm limp as overcooked pasta. That's what my grandmother used to say. Oh, this is crazy, Ryan. By the time we get to anywhere we can find some tools, I'll be bloody dead.
If there hadn't been an armed sec patrol, we could have risked the first plan. But without someone who can speak a little Russian to anybody we meet, we'll be deader in these coats.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Wearily, Rick climbed to his feet again.
At least most of the snow's gone today.
The weather was beautiful. The temperature was cool enough to need the coats, but not so cold that it gnawed at exposed skin. The giant mutie had been removed from the cabin. Ryan risked a quick glance inside and saw that it had been completely stripped. The three bodies of the horsemen had also vanished. From the odd fragments of bone and torn cloth, it looked as if the wolves had gotten to them before the search party from the Ville. Once they had successfully circled around the community, the companions stopped for food. Ryan and Christie ate sparingly of the dried meat and fish, and sipped at their canteens, replenishing them from the adjacent river. Rick hardly touched his food, but he drank heavily, draining the canteen and nodding his thanks as Ryan topped it up for him.
You have to eat, Rick, and you should harvest the water. Might not be anywhere we're going.
Food makes me want to puke. And I get so dry I could...
You still have to eat.
Why?
Just to keep your strength.
What strength is that, lady? In a fight, I couldn't last a round with my little pony.
Little pony?
Oh, forget it.
But I'm interested in the past and things like that, Rick.
You want to play, you gotta pay, Christie. Be there or be square, like the man said. Radio said they was just refugees. Don't let the sun catch you crying.
His eyes were closed, and he seemed to have slipped into a weird kind of trance. Christie turned to Ryan, who shrugged his shoulders.
Don't ask me, lover. Guess it's like Doc. Some things a man just doesn't get over. Not all the way, all the time.
Rick looked up at Ryan.
Truest thing you ever said, good buddy. Let's get moving again.
Ryan's toothache was becoming much worse, hurting to such an extent that he didn't even want to risk breathing in cool air through his mouth. The long walk, often having to help Rick along, made him pant.
Ah, fire blast. What's a Rusky word for dentist, Rick?
I think it's zubnoy vrach, but I'm not really sure. I guess you just pull a face and point at the tooth that hurts, and the guy will pull it for you. Not a lot different from visiting the Fang Factory up in Queens.
Great. Thanks a whole load, Rick. Do the same for you one day.
They kept moving for most of the day. By keeping to the sides of the roads, they were generally able to dodge into the trees and scrub if they saw or heard anyone coming. Rick's Russian was only put to the test once. Toward the end of the weary afternoon, as the setting sun threw their elongated shadows down a narrow, winding blacktop, they saw a wooden-wheeled cart coming slowly toward them, drawn by a pair of oxen. They were being driven by an elderly peasant with a long, grizzled beard. Nobody else was with him, and the wagon was clearly empty. Christy and Ryan exchanged glances. One man alone. They'd seen a number of small farms and cabins on both sides of the road, set back among tilled fields, mostly surrounded by groves of trees. Men and women were working in the drying mud, taking advantage of the change in the spring weather. Most wore assorted furs and rags, and none showed any particular interest in the trio of strangers. But a shot could bring them running in seconds.
No point in running, lover.
Nope. Rick, might be time for you to do your stuff for us.
What?
Rick was patently at the end of his tether, both physically and mentally. His face was as white as water-scoured bone, and he staggered. A dozen times he'd have fallen if it hadn't been for either Ryan or Christie's helping hand.
Russian? We need you to speak Russian, Rick. Just say as little as possible. Good day, or hi there, or whatever.
Oh, God damn. I've just this second forgotten every goddamn word of Russian that I ever learned in my entire life.
The wagon was nearly on top of them, and they all stepped aside to give it passage. Ryan and Christy tried to keep their faces turned away, both holding a cocked blaster under their long furs. The old man looked down at them from his high seat, tugging on the reins so that the cart began to slow. Fearing this could indicate the beginning of a lengthy conversation on the price of corn or the recent disease among young pigs, Ryan risked a glance at Rick, who was swaying back and forth like a man entering a deep trance.
Talk, you triple-stew bastard.
До свидания. Снег растаял, цветет солнце.
The wagon was still moving, at barely walking pace. The peasant flicked out at the oxen with the tip of a long whip.
Сейчас уже поздно съед. Как сюда?
Rick didn't risk any further attempts at social chatter. He stepped to the side of the rack and slumped down on a large boulder, shoulders shaking. It wasn't until they reached him, having watched the cart rattle on down the road, that Ryan and Christy realized Ginsburg was laughing.
Oh, man. Sorry. Just nervous relief. Felt like a character in a made-for-TV spy movie. I said, the sun is warm and the snow is gone. And I had this feeling he was going to reply something like, and the Count is frying turbot with my grandmother tonight. Then we'd exchange microfilms. Oh, Jesus. All he did say was he moaned something about the fucking weather.
Major Commissar Zimyanin was becoming puzzled. Puzzled and a little intrigued.
Who's in command of the Peredelkino, Alisa Andreevna?
Lieutenant Ulyanov, I think. Why? Is something wrong out there?
No. Yes. Possibly. It's just these reports he keeps sending me.
What about them, Comrade Major Commissar? Is it trouble?
As he looked down at the files, the morning sunlight bounced off the top of his polished skull.
Three men missing. Horses found. No, two found. It's believed wolves took the other one. Bodies found. All shot at medium range by heavy caliber hand blasters. Good observation, that.